And just like that, we are back, Bobcat Radio, Monday edition. Ryan Marcus joined by Matt Hamill today, special guest. And then Jason Harris, our faithful producer. Do we got an update on the Twitter?
The update on the Twitter, Houston is running away with it right now. 85% say the next football home game, next season's home game they're looking forward to is Houston. But again, Arkansas State still getting in there with 15% right now. So still plenty of time to vote at KTSW Sports. That's at KTSW Sports. Give us a vote. Let us know what you're thinking.
You can also tweet us using the hashtag BobcatRadio. Call us 512-245-FIRE. But it's good to see that the fans know which games are going to be good, and I guess that kind of reflects how the attendance will be at those games. And hopefully there will be a lot of attendance this coming football season, and the party in the end zone will be in full effect. But when we took a break, we just finished talking about the men's basketball team going through some struggles right now. If we switch to the women's team, sticking with the hardwood, they're going through similar struggles of their own. And I'm just not sure what's going on with them.
Well, I can point out one thing that is going, it's going pretty bad for the Bobcats right now, and that is the effort that they're showing on the rebounding side of things. In the previous two games, they've been crushed on the boards. Against Georgia Southern, they were out-rebounded 43-23. That is a 20-rebound difference. And against Georgia State, it was 53-32. If you go back to the week before, they were out-rebounded by double digits to ULM, and similarly almost double digits to ULL. So, I mean, the team can't corral boards. Those are possessions going to the other team. That's extra shots, a lot of times easy shots, rebound putbacks, layups from right underneath the basket. So that's a huge problem right there. It's great to put 35 seconds of strong defense together, but to end that with a missed shot that turns into a lay-in from an offensive rebound, that is just crippling if you're a savvy defensive team.
Well, the Bobcats, talking about rebounding margin, worst in the SBC at -9.5 rebounds a game. And it's tough to win a game if you're giving up so many extra possessions, and that also probably leads to the scoring margin at -8.5 a game, but 0.1 away from worst in the Sun Belt Conference. But the Bobcats, they're on a skid of their own. The Lady Bobcats have lost three in a row and four of their last five, and this team, just like the men's team, struggling with consistency. I look at the Georgia State game, and they scored 22 points in the second quarter, but only 8 in the fourth quarter, and it's literally a tale of two halves sometimes.
And that's strange, too. You wonder whether it's, you know, overconfidence on the players. Again, this is a relatively young team with a lot of younger players, whether they're sophomores and such, getting time on the court. And is it a thing where the players are relaxing because they go up by, you know, X number, or are they getting down on themselves because they're allowing, you know, 20-something points a quarter? But then you switch it around, and then they have this fantastic quarter, and you're like, okay, well, where did that come from, too? You know, it's possible for them to do that and play as well as they have, but maybe it's inexperience. I know you don't have one of the senior leaders. Again, Peoples has been out. I think that's a huge blow, much more impactful than maybe even we realized.
And another person, Caitlin Walla, missed last weekend. She's the second or third leading scorer on this team. Other players, though, did step in and relieve that scoring burden from Ariel Anderson, from Taylor Deere. Tasha Levitt, she was impressive over the weekend. She's had three double-digit scoring performances in a row, and on Saturday she had 16 points and 4 3-point makes. Both of those tied career highs for her. And then Raven Burton, she was especially impressive against Georgia State. She made 5 3-pointers in that game. So despite the absence of Caitlin Walla, other people stepped up and produced. They still missed, though, that defensive intensity and some of the rebounding that Walla can provide. But I feel like, to the point of the consistency throughout the quarters, this Texas State team, they're one of the leaders in the country in 3-point makes per game. They average around 9 or 10 makes per game. So 30 of their points per game come from the 3-point line. They shoot from 3 almost as well as they shoot from the floor in general. And during these quarters in which we see Texas State put up 24, 25, 26 points, a lot of the time it's because that's the quarter where they were making all their threes.
So I think you brought up a good point, Jason, about Aaron Peoples. And it just seems like her entire game is exactly what's missing from this Bobcat team, and it's tough to replace a preseason first-team All-Sunbelt Conference player like that. But the women's team, they're certainly trying, and it hasn't been easy for them, but they're still not doing terrible. They're tied for fourth in the Sunbelt Conference, and they've been on this skid, but if they can turn it around, you got to think they have some momentum heading into the postseason. But we go back to the inconsistency. One of the things I noticed is that they haven't outscored opponent in the first quarter of a game in six games, and it's tough to win when you just start slow.
It is. Again, it's so strange to me because we know this team can go on runs whenever they get hot from downtown, whether it's Caitlin Waller or Taylor Deer, as Matt brought up, Tasha Leavitt.
She can light it up if you haven't seen her play.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in just a little bit as well. So, again, I don't know if it just takes some of these younger players. Again, there's only two seniors on this team right now if you're not including Aaron Peoples. So the players that have been here and just one junior. So it's hard to get. Maybe it's harder for the young players to get going. Maybe they're just not quite used to the pace of Sunbelt basketball yet. But when they get warmed up, it's so much fun, and it's such exciting basketball to watch, whether they're cutting to the basket or raining it in from downtown. So, again, we know what this team can do. And it makes you excited for the future. And, again, I want to touch on that before we move on from women's basketball, because I'm excited about the future, should we say.
Me too, Jason. Me too. The future is looking good, but the present, not so much. I guess my question is, what happens if this trend of losing continues? There's seven teams within two games of each other in the Sunbelt Conference standings. Like I said, the Bobcats tied for fourth, but they could easily slip, and they play the top three games in the last nine games, or the top three Sunbelt teams in their last nine games of the season, and two of those games are on the road where, like the men's team, they've definitely struggled.
It's weird, because again, if you go back a couple of seasons, two or three seasons, Texas State's had a problem. Basketball has had a problem winning at home. And that's been, you know, whether the detractors have said, well, that's why we don't come out to basketball games, or that's why
they're winning,
you know,
at home.
Yeah, we don't want to support this team, blah, 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 whatever you are. And hey, if you don't want to support this team, don't come out in general. We don't need that kind of negativity in Strand Coliseum. But this season, they're winning at home. Especially, you know, going back to the men's as well, and that's exactly what this fan base has wanted. We're the talking heads up here, and we get to do this, and it's a blast. But again, let's be honest, we're all fans of Bobcat Athletics, and we want to see them win. And we're finally getting to see them win, and finally saying, hey, my team's winning at basketball. Maybe I'll go stroll on down to Strand and let me check it out a little bit and support this Bobcat team, as opposed to, you know, whether it was, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago when I was here the first time, it was just, well, we know they're going to lose, so why would we go out and watch them anyway?
Dating yourself, Jason Harris.
Oh, I'm the old man. I got no problem with that.
We appreciate it. We appreciate the honesty. So what happens if this losing trend continues?
It's going to turn into a lost season. And again, to touch on it again, Aaron Peoples goes down before the season even starts, and it's easy for the negative people and the detractors to jump in and say, well, you just lost your best player. That's it. Sorry, this is a lost season, and it's gone. And then players step up like a Taylor Deer, like Tasha Leavitt, like a Caitlin Waller, coming off a huge injury and putting this team, saying, you know what, I'll be one of the leaders on this team as well. Keanu Lurie, one of the freshmen as well. And like, It's cause for excitement, but then again, you know, you get rolling when it's deep into the season, when you need to look to those senior leaders, when you need people that have been in this position before to say, guys, this is what we do. This is how we push through the struggles we're having right now. And right now, the Tech State women's team just doesn't have those leaders to say, guys, this is what we do when this happens.
I mean, you just think back to last year. The core of juniors and seniors was Jacqueline Jeffcoat, Megan Breyer, Ariel Anderson, Aaron Peoples, and now it's just really Ariel Anderson, at least on the court.
Yeah, I mean, again, the two seniors, Ariel Anderson and Raven Burns, if we're not factoring in Aaron Peoples right now. You've got Amber Jones, who's a junior, plays occasionally here and there. But then after that, it's sophomores, it's freshmen that are getting a lot of time right now. You know, Tasha Leavitt has become a name we all know so far because she can light it up from downtown if we need to. Keanu Lurie is playing extremely meaningful minutes. Erica May has been a force under the board. She's been pretty much the front line for Texas State this season. Taylor Deer, who we'll touch on here in just a little bit. Whitney Apari. Caitlin, I know Caitlin Wall has been here 3 years, but she got the red shirt as well. But all those players, freshmen or sophomores, you know? And while I love the future of this team because those ladies will be here for the next 3 to 4 years, it's hard to be able to rely on them when they're still getting used to the college game.
And let's not forget the baptism of fire that this team went through in the beginning of the season, opening up against number 16 Texas A&M, the Cancun Mayan Tournament in Cancun, Mexico, playing Iowa State, a number 12 Duke team. You know, they also played very well against a ranked Missouri team, although the score doesn't reflect that. It was a very close game going into the third quarter. And let's not forget this team. I mean, they are still very good at home. 7-1 home record, 3-1 at home against Sun Belt Conference opposition. And when you're hovering at 500 in your conference record, still sitting in the middle of the pack, anything can happen. Some of the other teams around Texas State could start losing. And with six home games left on the roster, the comfy confines of Strahan Coliseum are going to do this team favors, and it's going to start paying off tomorrow afternoon, I think.
The Bobcats, they do play tomorrow afternoon, but before we talk about that, you brought up Taylor Deer. That's a question that I had. She's really was supposed to be that second scoring option, and even though she's only a sophomore, she was supposed to be a leader this year, and we just really haven't seen that from her. You got to think that's really affecting the team.
Well, we got spoiled last season, I think. just watching her play whenever she got out there, and she got hot at the end of the season, and she could score, and it really looked like she could put this team on her back and carry it when they needed to. And I think she can. She has shown me she has that talent. There's no doubt in my mind Taylor Deal will be a star for this team for the next 3 to 4 years. But
there's a big if there. I just feel like if she has the commitment, because we've seen she's been suspended a couple games this year for, you know, undisclosed reasons. You just got to think that's some off-the-court stuff that's really holding her back.
She's young. Again, just a sophomore. I mean, maybe it's easier for me to play the young card because I've got about 10 years on everybody that's here in general. But there is that if, you know, that there's been plenty of players through any college program that have come in and it looked like they were going to be a stud on this team and lead it. And it's not all about scoring. It's not all about defense. You've got to have it in the locker room as well. You've got to have that fire and that passion, not only to do good for yourself and push yourself forward, but put that team on you and say, hey, let's do this. When a team is getting down, when Caitlin Walla is, you know, 1 for 6 from behind the line saying, hey, we know how good you are. Take that shot if you still got it. We have confidence in you. That's a leadership quality there. And I think she's got it. Again, call me, you know, ever the optimist, if you will. But, again, she's young, and she spoiled us last season. Let's be honest. It was so much fun watching her. And just to expect her to get better and to play at that level the entire season, maybe we put a little too much on there. The talent is there. I take nothing away from her, but let's again remember, just a sophomore right now.
Sun Belt Conference play was kind of rough. If you just look at the season that Taylor Deers had, I mean, let's not forget, she did put up 32 against North Texas very early in the season.
On her birthday.
From the Missouri game onwards, though, she took sort of a downward tread. That Missouri game was rough on her. 4 personal fouls, 0 points through that game. And from then, she struggled to reach the double-digit scoring map. But in 6 of the last 7 games, she's reached double figures for the Bobcats. The shooting percentage has been okay, around 50%, 60% for most of those games. So she's finding some consistency in her game right now. It's just whether or not that's making a physical impact on the floor. I think she's still capable of doing so. But the Sun Belt Conference, this is their second time around seeing Taylor Deer. She's no longer a freshman that's a question mark on the scouting report. It's close her out on the three-point line because she can hurt you, make the shots awkward. Don't let Ariel Anderson just run picks with her. You know, they're starting to game plan for Taylor Deer, and I think it's reflecting the box score. But, you know, like I said, she's returning to the double-digit mark 6 of the last 7 games, so I think there's still time for her to have a lasting impact and turn around the season.
Well, there's not much time left. If she's going to do that, it needs to happen right now. It needs to happen tomorrow. The women's team plays tomorrow.
Like now is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Now.
Well, specifically now. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and you got to think that 1 o'clock start hurts the Bobcats. I know I have class. I cannot make it to that game, but it's got to be tough, especially when the men's team, and I forgot to mention this, they play tomorrow at 8 p.m., and both of these games can be heard here on KTSW. And then the men's game also on ESPN2. That's a pretty big deal for Texas State men's basketball.
It's always fun. I mean, even looking at my dad, graduated from here. He worked here for 35 years. You know, he's been a Bobcat his entire life. And
so you didn't have a choice where you were going.
No. It was here, nowhere, like, basically. But he loves it when the Cats are on television. And, you know, he only lives, you know, what, 20, 30 minutes from here. So, I mean, he can come on over if you want to. But retired now, living the good life. Yeah, if you get a chance to just, like, sit at home in your lazy boy chair and pop your feet up, flip on the TV, and there's the Bobcats, love it. Gotta love it.
So, you have something to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it was just great last weekend when both Bobcat games were on ESPN3. I was able to pull up those games on my Xbox and then watch TNT's broadcast of the Knicks game on my computer. And I was like, doubleheader Texas State style. All right, two basketball games, and one of them is the school.
You're living life, right?
Oh, yeah,
man.
That was three different screens
you got going on.
That was a comfy afternoon of my feet up watching basketball.
So, funny thing, during those games, I noticed, I texted you about this, Matt, but I was up here in the studio working the board for both of those games, watching them on ESPN3, which is always a pleasure. But there was a time in both the men's and the women's game where someone went up to the line for Georgia State, and they pulled up the free throw graphic, and it just said first name, last name. It was very funny. It's got to hurt if you're that player.
Ooh.
It hurts almost worse for the parents, for the close family and friends that are tuning in specifically to watch that player. And they're like, oh, my God, she's coming up to the free throw line. I'm going to see your name on TV. Just kidding. First name, last name. Ooh.
And whoever that was out there, you know, that didn't do their job or realize there's a host of people like us here in the studio that are coming for your job, sir or ma'am, whoever it was. So that's just slacking off right there. You had one job, whether it's whoever it was in graphics or, you know, back in the truck. Get this kid's name on television. I mean, it is not that hard to type in a name and put it up there.
Yep, picture and all.